Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Mark the Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Nun Hey. Essentially, we are continuing the discussion during our previous shiur, where we were dealing with the identification of different relatives as to whether they are considered forbidden from the Torah as a result of having a common father, or even if they have just a common mother. So without reviewing all of that which we said during our last shiur, we will just continue from the point that we left off and glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have a topic heading, Mokor, a source, She'eshes Ach, She'asura. We spoke about a brother's wife. She is a forbidden relative. How is he your brother? Bein im hu achiv min ho'av, bein im hu achiv min ho'em. Whether he is a brother simply because you have a common father, or he is your brother because you have only a common mother. Either way, the wife of that kind of brother, we can call him my half-brother, is forbidden. So we pick up the Gemara, V'eshes ach gufa minolin. We've dashed underlined that because this is the focus of our discussion, and this was an essential point in our previous discussion. So where do we know that the brother, the wife of one's brother, is forbidden to you from the Torah, whether she is the wife of your brother from a common father or from a common mother? The Sanya. We quote a pasuk from Vayikra, Perek Yudches Pasuk Tezayin. Before we go on in the source, let's just read the entire pasuk. Ervas Eishes Ochicha Loi Sigaleh. One shall not have intimacy with the wife of your brother. Ervas ochicha hi. She is considered the erva of your brother. The term erva, without trying to give it a literal translation, it is a reference to a forbidden relationship. So now the Gemara continues. From where do we know that it is the wife of your brother, even if he is a brother, a half brother from either father or common mother? Ervas eishes ochicha lo segale. So the Torah warns against having intimacy with the wife of one's brother. Lo segale, do not reveal her intimacy. Bein min ho'av, bein min ho'em. Whether it's a brother from a common father or from a common mother, in other words, a half brother. Either way, ata oimer bein min ho'av bein min ho'em. You are saying that it's a half brother. Either way, oy eino elo min ho'av elo min ho'em. Possibly, when the Torah forbids the wife of one's brother, it's only because it's a brother from a common father, not from a common mother. In other words, if it were your brother from a common mother, the wife of that brother wouldn't be forbidden from the Torah. Well, so which way do we go? V'dinhu, logic. Chayev kan v'chayev b'achoso. The Torah holds one guilty here in the case of brother's wife and also in the case of one's sister. Ma'achoso bein min ho'av bein min ho'em. Just like when it comes to sister, it doesn't matter if she's your half-sister either from common father or common mother. And this we proved last time, we demonstrated this in our previous shiur. So af kan bein min ho'av bein min ho'em. So too over here, with regard to wife of brother, the brother is a half-brother either from father or from common mother. or maybe go this way in trying to prove things. Chayev kan v'chayev b'doidoso. The Torah's mechayev holds one guilty here in the case of brother's wife, and also in the case of doidoso. Doidoso is the wife of one's father's brother. Now, how is the brother a brother to your father? Ma doidoso minho av lo minho aim. The prohibition of the Torah that's called doidoso, wife of one's father's brother, is only if it's your father's brother because they have a common father, not if they have merely a common mother. So, afkan, so too, regarding our topic of brother's wife, minho av lo minho aim. If it's a half-brother, but only if it's through a common father, not through a... It wouldn't be sufficient to create guilt if it's a brother through a common mother. No, nira lemidoma. So let's go further and see which is this most similar to. We have the issue of brother's wife. We have now a choice to compare brother's wife to either achoso or doidoso. Donin krove atzmo mikrove atzmo. Maybe we should prove brother's wife, who is considered your own relative, from another, from the precedent of achoso, your sister, who is your own relative. The al tochiach dodoso, and don't allow the case of dodoso to prove the matter, to settle the matter. Shekroi v'hoav, dodoso is related to you, but through your father. Oy klach l'derech zu, or maybe go this way. Donin dover shal yedei kiddushin, midover shal yedei kiddushin. We should derive the unknown, namely the case of Eshes Ach. She married your brother, so the woman's prohibition is through the act of marriage, her marrying your brother. So we'll learn that from another case where marriage was a key factor. Midover shal yedei kiddushin, namely dodoso. She married your father's brother. Do not allow the case of sister to prove the matter. She'isur habal me'elov. That is an isur that came on its own by the mere fact that she was born without any act of marriage. So we really don't know which way to go. Each time we suggest one method of proving it, we find that there's room to suggest an alternative way. Talmud Lomar, therefore we resort to the pasuk. This is the continuation of the pasuk with which we opened this Tanaic source. It says at the end, Ervas Ochicha Hi. It would appear to be a type of repetition, so it's repeated to cover our tracks. Bein Mino Av, Bein Mino Aim. This extra phrase comes to tell me that it's your brother's wife, even if it's your brother through just a common mother. So we have two parts of this pasuk that, as we say, cover all possibilities. Common father or common mother. And as we go on in the Gemara, you'll see a house marking that appears a few times. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, the house represents Hatzos Chilufios, alternative suggestions. Shnayim Horishonim Shemesumonois, the first two house markings that are... feature a colored in tip, heimatzos chilufios lemaskonas habraisa. These are suggested alternatives to the conclusion of the braisa that we just read. So the Gemara continues, v'emo idi v'idi. Let us say that both parts of the pasuk in Vayikra Yudches pasuk Tezayin are be'eshes ach mino av, the wife of your brother through simply common father. And so they'll ask, what do I need two parts of the pasuk to talk about the same thing? Chado, deyesh lo bonim b'chaye bailo. One covers a case of a brother's wife that he divorced, that your brother divorced. Your brother's still alive, and she, and it's a case where he had children. V'chado, de'ein lo bonim b'chaye bailo. And the other is a case where he had divorced his wife and had no children, and has no children. And both of those cases, the brother's wife is forbidden. The Gemara rejects the need for both of these. Ein lo bonim b'chaye bailo. The case of a brother's wife that has no children and the brother is still alive, That is midrav Huna nafka. That is derived. That prohibition is derived through Rav Huna's teaching. There's a note in the Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. Midrav Huna dichtiv eshes achiv nidahi, as we saw before on Daf Nun Dalid Amid Beis. So we have a source based on Rav Huna's teaching, which is essentially another pasuk that teaches me the case of Eishes Ach b'chay b'ilo ein lo bonim. Okay, so we're going to go back to now another suggestion of the two parts of the pasuk Vayikra Perek Yudches Pasuk Yud Tezayin V'yemo Idi V'idi. Let us say that both parts of the pasuk Be'eishes Ach mino av. Again, it's a wife of your brother that's your brother through a common father. As far as brother through common mother, that's not going to lead to guilt if you have intimacy with her, with his wife. That only if it's a brother through common father. What do I need two parts of the pasuk for? Chada diyesh la bonim b'chaye b'ilo. One is where he had divorced her and she produced. They had produced children, and the husband is still alive. V'chado diyesh la bonim liachar misas baila. And the other is a case where the brother had produced children, but he subsequently died. And in both cases, the brother's wife is forbidden. Well, yesh la bonim liachar misas baila. The case where he had children and he subsequently died, that the wife is usher lo tzricha krop. I don't need a pasuk to cover that case. Midom rachmona, from the fact that the Torah says she'ein lo bonim muteres, that where one's brother dies leaving no children, so the wife, the widow in that case, is muteres, ha yesh lo bonim asur. We would derive from that, through inference, that where there are children, so she is forbidden. So that prohibition is derived from the inference mentioned, and we don't need pasuk tezayin for that. The Gemara asks, v'dilma ein la bonim. Maybe in a case where there are no children, asura li alma v'sharia lo yavam. Both parts of the pasuk are talking about an eishes ach, a wife of brother from father only. And as far as the extra source is concerned, well, where there are no children, she is usher to marry someone else, and she's muteres to the yavam. Yesh la bonim, sharya li alma, v'sharya li yavam. And where there are children, she's muteres to the world and muteres to the avam. In other words, where there are children, as opposed to before, where there were no children, she cannot marry anyone else. Where there are children, she can marry anyone else, and she can marry the avam. Inami, or possibly ein lo bonim mitzvah, where there are no children, so then there's a mitzvah for the avam to marry her. Yesh lo bonim rishus. If there are children, so there is an option that he can marry her, but he's not commanded to marry her. Inami, ein lo bonim. Another possible contrast is that the case of ein lo bonim in yesh lo bonim lo, where there are children, so he is the yavam cannot marry her. However, v'lav habo michal asay equals asay. And a negative command that's derived from a positive, namely the positive states, where there are no children, you shall marry her. Inference, where there are no children, you shall not marry her. That has the status of a positive command. And as a result, in order to derive a negative command, I would still need the second half of the pasuk in Vayikra Yudches Pasuk Tezayin, so that at this point we don't see with any certainty that the Torah is forbidding a wife of a brother from a common mother. Well, Kosav Kro Achrino, there's still another pasuk, Ervas Achiv Gila. And with that extra pasuk, we now are able to cover, let's say, all possibilities, including the wife of a brother through common mother alone, as also being a prohibited relationship. The Gemara asks, V'eimo, eishes ach minoeim, ke eishes ach minoav. Maybe we should parallel a wife of one brother through common mother to wife of one brother through common father. Ma eishes ach minoav, li'achar mises bailo sharya. In a case where one's brother dies leaving no children, so the wife of one's brother is muteris, that's yibum. So af eishes ach minoeim. So too in the case of a brother through common mother, when he dies leaving no children, so his widow is li'achar misas b'ilo shara, she should be allowed also. And we know that's not the case. We know that yibum takes place only when it's the death of a brother through common father leaving no children. But according to the suggestion right now, maybe we should parallel them. Omar Kroh, the pasuk says, he. And you can see we have a little arrow, and where you saw this word before, from the very pasuk that we were, Marbe, the Ashes, ach minoim, we have the word he, which tells me avyosa te, she remains as she was, namely forbidden, that she always is forbidden, even if the brother died without children. Since it's a brother through common mother only, there is no mitzvah yibum. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side where the bow tie shape is featured. We see a nosei mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note, where we've written lama kosuv kores etzel achoisoi v'doidosu. Why does the Torah write that there is a kores punishment for one who has intimacy with one's sister or with one's doda? Rashi points out that it would appear that the specification of kores by these relatives is seemingly unnecessary, because we know that all of the arayas that are listed in the Torah are punishable by kores. Rashi cites the pasuk v'nichrusu hanefashos ha'aisos. So once again, why does the Torah specify kores by these relatives? And they are highlighted in the bow tie shape. So we continue now in the Gemara. Achoso de kosav bo kores lomali. Why does the Torah write kores by achoso, by sister? L'chide Reb Yochanan. It's for Reb Yochanan's teaching. D'omer Reb Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Shim Ason Kulam Behelam Achas, if a person would have intimacy with a series of forbidden women in one state of lack of awareness, he's not aware of who they are, or he's not aware that they are forbidden. So Chayav Al Kol Achas Vachas, he'll have to bring a separate sacrifice, a separate Korban Chatos for each act. The Rashi points out, had there been only one kores for all the forbidden relatives, they will say in the general pasuk, I would have thought that if he does several offenses in one state of lack of awareness, not becoming aware in the interim that he had done something wrong, he would bring only one sacrifice. Now that I have kores specified by one, this falls under the category of an example of something, a relative, a forbidden relative that was part of a general rule. It was called Dover Shehoya Beklal, and then it was Yotzim Min HaKlal. It was specified on its own. It was taken out of the general rule, and it teaches us about the entire list, as Rashi calls it, L'lamid Al HaKlal Kulo. Rashi simply citing the famous Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, where we have rules of exegesis. And we say, just like Achoso is a specific forbidden relative, and she carries with her a penalty of kores, so too any other specific relative will generate a kores penalty, and hence if it's done with lack of awareness, we know that a korban chatos, a sin offering, is brought. And that's called what we call the chalik, that for each one, a separate sacrifice will be necessary. And that's all a function of kores being specified by achoso. We continue with a question. Rabbi Yitzchak, the Omar, kol chayve krisis bichlal hoyu, v'lomo yotzas kores bachoso, laduno bekores v'loi b'malkois. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, the forbidden relatives that are punishable by kores are punishable by kores alone, and malkos cannot be given. Lashing cannot be given. That would mean that even if the offender was warned beforehand that if you do this offense, if you have intimacy with this forbidden woman, you will be punishable by lashing, you will not get lashes. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. Others disagree with that. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that principle that something in the case of forbidden relatives that are chayav kores, we learn from achoso that they will get the offender will get punished by kores and not by malkos, even if he is warned thusly. How will Rabbi Yitzchak know lechalek? Answer, lechalek is this the concept we saw before that was introduced by Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a separate need or a separate requirement of bringing a sin offering for multiple offenses. Nafka lay, so Rabbi Yitzchak will learn that point out, miveel isha benidas tum asa. From that pasuk he learns this principle, lechayev al kol isha v'isha. The Rashi points out that the word isha in the pasuk is available for this particular teaching, because otherwise the pasuk could have simply written ula nida lo sikrav. So from the expression of ve'el isha, we learn that for each woman there's a separate punishment or separate sacrificial requirement. The expression aririm yihu is essentially kores. It's a situation where a person dies without children, or his children will have died before him. There's some detail to that particular issue, but for our purposes right now, it means it's a reference to kores. So why does the Torah specify kores, the punishment of being cut off in the sense of one's children, one's future is cut off? Why is it written by Dodoso? Answer, l'chide Rabba, for Rabba's teaching, de Rabba Rami. Rabba raises what would appear to be an inconsistency in two verses. Ksiv aririm yihu, that's one pasuk. Ksiv aririm yomusu. Now here we look at Rashi. Aririm yihu lishas misoson mashma sofon lovo lidei ariri, that a person will come to being ariri. Deim yesh lo bonim, that if a person has children, kovron, he'll bury his own children, meaning that his children will die in his lifetime. There's another pasuk that says aririm yomusu. Rashi says mashma deim hein achshav aririm, if a person right now has no children, kein yomusu, they will die thusly without children. Vafilu yivoldu lahem liachar maisa, even those children that will be born after the offense. So we have two psukim, aririm yihu, which, as we saw in Rashi, implies that if he has children now, he will bury them. And the other pasuk, Aririm Yamusu, implies that even children that he doesn't have now but will be born afterwards, after the offense, those children will also be subject to, they will die before the father. Ha-ketzad. So how do we resolve these these two psukim? Yesh lo banim, if a person who is committing the offense of immorality, of forbidden relations, a person like that has children, kovron, he will bury those children. Ein lo banim, if he doesn't have children, holech ariri, he will die that way, childless. Ve'itzrich lemichtav aririm yu, ve'itzrich lemichtav aririm yamusu. Both psukim are necessary. The kosav rachmona aririm yu, had the Torah written just that, have amina, I would have thought, ad chatei, only those children that he had before the sin would be subject to this kores, that they would die. Avol mechate ve'elich lo, but children that he might have born after the sin, so they wouldn't be subject to this premature death. Kosa brahmana aririm yomusu. Hence, the Torah writes aririm yomusu, as we saw before in the Rashi, that implies even kids, even children that are born after the act, the forbidden act of intimacy. V'i kosa brahmana aririm yomusu, and had the Torah written just that, have amina mechete ve'elech. I would have thought that the only those children that are born after the sin are subject to this premature death. Avomei korolo. But children that were born before aren't subject to it. And therefore, tzricha, I have to write the pasuk of aririm yu as well. Let's take a look at the Rashi. V'i kosav. There's a Rashi. De'i kosav rachmona aririm yu, had the Torah written just that, have amino dehavu le adchate, I would have thought that the punishment applies only to those children that he had before the sin, that were, let's say, they were around at the time of his sin. V'hochi mashma, and the pasuk would have been understood as follows: Sofon lios aririm, the offender eventually will die ariri. Shiamusu b'neim sheish lehem ato, the children that he has now for the sin, they will die. Few ariru, avol b'shas misosam lo yamusu aririm, but not necessarily at the time that the offender dies will he die without children. Those children that he happened to bear after his sin wouldn't die. So that's what I would have thought had I just had the pasuk of aririm yihyu. The ikos of rachmon aririm yomusu, havi amino, I would have thought, mechate ve'elech, those children that were born from the sin onwards. The hachi mashma mechetom isu v'elech aririm yomusu. Those that from the time he sins onwards, he will bear his iniquity, and those children will die. Avol bonim demei korah lo maisi, but children that he had beforehand, so they won't die. Kosav rachmon aririm yu. Therefore, the Torah writes aririm yu sofon lavo lidei aririm. They will come to being ariri anyway. Dimichtiv aririm yu. From the fact that the Torah writes that michlal dahashto lav aririm ninu, that implies that right now he's not ariri. So, with that, we understand that even those children that are that he has from before the sin will also be subject to this premature death because of what their father did. We turn back to the Gemara. He'orom, actually, before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the sign under the Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle is featured. Sidra shel she'elos. There's a series of questions. Shel min nolan. From where do we know? Lagabi Haora Bekesher Lebios Shonos. The general theme or common thread in, amongst these questions is that they relate to partial insertion Haora in the context of all kinds of different forms of intimacy. The Gemara. He'ora dechayve lavin minolan. From where do we know that even in those forbidden relations that don't carry with them a chiyuv kores, but are merely considered negative commands, they're considered isure loisase, from where do we know that he'ora also is a violation, even though it's not a totally complete act of total insertion, of male insertion, male organ insertion, nevertheless, it's punishable. It's considered an offense. The Gemara answers, Midigoli Rachmona Shichva Zera, Gabi Shifcha Harufa. The term Shichva Zera, now literally it means semen, but from the in halachic term, Shichva Zera refers to a, we'll call a Gemar Bia, a more complete type of insertion. So from the fact that the Torah speaks in terms of a gemar bia or shichva zera gabi shifcha charufa regarding a person that has relations with a maid servant that's categorized as a shifcha charufa. There are many different definitions as to what a shifcha charufa actually is. Rashi cites an opinion. Shifcha charufa, he says, shifcha kenainis and miresis le'evid ivri shemuter ba. This is a case where a person has in his household a Jewish servant. He's called an Eved Ivri, and the Torah allows an Eved Ivri to have intimacy with a non-Jewish bondmaid. Again, these are laws that the Torah cites in Psukim. So a Jewish servant, a man, that has assigned to him by his owner a non-Jewish bondmaid, if someone else has relations with her, he is guilty of having relations with a shifcha charufa. This is something that is usher to do. It's a negative command. It's not a chiyuv kores, but it's forbidden. So from the fact that the Torah specifies by shifcha charufa that the outsider who has intimacy with her is considered guilty of a punishable act, only if he has a complete sexual contact, michlal, we can infer that all the other kinds of lavin, the chayve lavin, that all the rest of the chive lavin, behal ra, one will be guilty even with the partial insertion. The Gemara asks, "Well, Adarabba, can't you say to the contrary? Midigoli Rachmon Ara b'chay v'krisus, from the fact that the Torah specifies by the more severe type of offense that are punishable by kores, the other forbidden women, the forbidden relatives that are punishable by kores, michlal the chay v'lavin, that would leave room to infer that by the less severe type offense, the negative command prohibitions." The Gmar Bia, that only with a complete type of insertion, complete sexual contact, only then would one be guilty. So which way do we go with regard to the general list of Chayve Lavin? Are we going to infer from Shifcha Charufa that the rest of Chayve Lavin would be punishable even Behara? Or do we infer from Chayve Krisus that the rest of the Chayve Lavin would be punishable only Begmar Bia? Amar Rav Ashi, in Cain, if that were so, that other chayvei lavin are inferred from chayvei kores and punishable only by gemar bia, lishto krami shivcha charufa. Let the Torah not say anything, not say shichvas zera by shivcha charufa. Shivcha charufa is just another example of a chiyuv lav. Why was the Torah specific by shivcha charufa why was it specific there about a gemar bia? It must be, as we said at the first stage, that it must be that shivcha charufa is really the exception, and from that we infer that other chayve lavin are guilty even with mir ha'ra. Another question. Hero de chayve lavin de kahuna minolan. From where do we know that a Kohen, even if he has partial sexual contact with those women that are prohibited specifically to the priesthood. For example, a Kohen is also to marry a divorcee. If he has intimacy with a divorcee, where do we know that he is in violation, even if the intimacy is only hara? Asya, kicha, kicha. Through a gezerah shava, we learn this point. And Rashi spells out how that is derived. We continue in the Gemara. Dechayve asei menolan. The Torah prohibits certain types of women in a positive command format. The example being that a convert from the Mitzri or Edomi people cannot join the ranks of the Jewish people until a third generation. The Pasuk says, Dor Shlishi Yavo, that in the third generation of their converts, so they can join the Jewish people. And not the second and not the first generation of converts. So that's a negative command, but it's derived from the positive. The positive being third generation, they can come into the Jewish fold. So that's called, Olav Habo Michlal Aseh is classified as an Aseh, as a positive command. So how do we know that if one, let us say, would have intimacy in the Ha'ara fashion with a Mitzri, Rishon, first generation convert or second generation convert, Minolan, how do we know that even with mere Ha'ara, that would be considered an offense? The Gemara answers, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Asya, Bia, Bia. The concept of Bia is derived from other Chayve Lavin, where the Pasuk says, for example, Lo Yovo Mamzer. The word Yovo appears, entrance or coming into the fold. In that context, it's a negative command, Lo Yovo Mamzer. And in the case of the positive command, the Pasuk used also the word Yovo, Dor Shlishi Yovo. We have a bracketed section, and the reason for the brackets is explained by Rashi. It's explained by the note on the side that we have on the side of the Gemara. Ikar hashelo nimtzei sachrei asograyim. With the main question will appear after the brackets. B'socham yesh hava mina udechia. Within the brackets, there the Gemara raises a possibility, but also rejects it. So, if you skip the brackets just to see the main question, Yavama liyava minolan. How do you know that a Yavam consummates the Yibum marriage with the widow, with the Yavama, by mere Ha'ara? Gemara will answer that after minolan. But in the brackets, Yavama lashuk minolan. Top line, from where do you know that a Yavama Lashuk, that means a Yavama that did not receive Chalitza. And she has relations with some outsider. How do we know that there is a violation, even if it's just partial contact, namely Ha'ara, without Gemar Bia? The Gemara responds, you don't have to ask that question. E leman domar lav, lav. If you view Yavama Lashuk as an Isur Lav, as a negative command, so it's just like all other negative commands, and we already established that they are guilty if there is mir Ha'ara. E lamadom Asay, Asay. And if you classify Yavama Lashuk as an Isur Asay, as a violation of a positive command, so it's just another example of positive commands, which we already established are considered punishable, or it's considered an offense if there is just Ha'ara. So what's your question? When you want to discuss the issue of Yavama, what's the issue? Ela Yavama liyavam minolan. From where do we know that the Yavam acquires the Yavama through mere Ha'ara? Asya, Bia, Bia. Through, again, a word comparison using the word Bia. We already established previously that Bia, in the case of negative commands, is through Heara, and the same word appears Yavama Yavo Alea in the case of the Yibo marriage. Hence, it also means partial contact, the Heara. Number five, Isha Labaila. A person, let us say, wants to marry. Sometimes the word betrothed is used. The Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, of Tractate Kiddushin, specifies three different methods of initiating the beginning of a marriage. And one of those methods is through bia, through sexual intimacy. It's true that, practically speaking, Rav, we already saw this in a previous Gemara, doesn't allow that. It's not considered proper modesty, but it works. So we're asking here, how do you know that the initial stage of marriage can be accomplished through this type of intimacy, the he'ora type contact? So Isha Labailo Minolon, answer, Asyo Kicha Kicha. The Pasuk by marriage says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Ubuala. And we see by Chayve Krisus, the word Kicha appears as well. And we established earlier that in the case of Chayve Krisus, so you see the word He'ora appears explicitly. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Ma melameid habitui shichva zera shekosuv etzel. Number one, shifcha harufa. Number two, eshes ish. Number three, soita. There are three topics in the Torah, three psukim that address these three different kinds of women. The shifcha harufa, which we described earlier, the bondmaid assigned to a Jewish servant. Eshes ish, a married woman, and sota, the suspected woman, the suspected married woman of immorality. In each parsha, you see the term shichva zeros. What does it teach me? Omar Rava, we continue in the Gemara, five lines from the top. Omar Rava, Loma li dekosav rachmona shichvas zera b'shivcha harufa, shichvas zera b'eshes ish, shichvas zera b'soita. The Gemara answers, De shivcha harufa ke de amoran. I need the term shichva zera by shivcha harufa, as we said earlier, that only by shivcha harufa, an outsider who has intimacy with her will be guilty only if he has a complete insertion, what we call gemar bia. And we shouldn't think that just like other chayve malkus, just like other negative command prohibitions, one is guilty through partial insertion. So to here, not so. So that's why shivcha, by shivcha rufa, shichva zer, which as we explained earlier means complete act, is specified. The eshes ish, the term shichva zera by eshes ish, prat lemeshamesh mace. This is to the exclusion of a man that, let's say, draws near or unto a woman who's married to another man, but this, we'll call him the paramour, his male organ is not in a state of kishui or erection. So he has we'll say, contact without kishui ever. So shichva zera tells me that he would not be guilty, and the guilt, by the way, of eshes ish is punishable by court execution. So it's important for us to know that if he doesn't experience kishui ever, he won't be guilty of a capital offense. The Gemara says, well, that is very nice according to only one opinion. Ha nicho leman de omar mishamish meis barayas poter. That is a reasonable conclusion according to the opinion that says one who has this physical contact with the non-erected organ, he is in fact exempt. Elolaman domar chayev. But according to the opinion that says that one who has physical contact, even in the non-kishui state, my ika lememar. So then, what is the role of the term shichva zera by in the Torah in the context of Eishes Ish. Ela, number two, Prat L'Meshamesh Mesa. This might sound disgusting, but Torah deals with all kinds of situations, even the unpleasant. Here's a case of someone that is having, he's performing an act of intimacy with a corpse. The woman is dead. In other words, a married woman who died, and someone comes and has intimacy with her corpse. The Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought without the Pasuk, Hayol Li'achar Misonami Ikri She'ero, since a husband-wife is referred to, she's referred to as his She'ero. She'ero is his relative, even after death. And Rashi cites the Pasuk where it says, Ki'im L'She'ero. The Torah there talks about a Kohen who in general is not allowed to expose himself to the defilement of the dead. A Kohen, though, if it comes to his wife that died, so She'ero means one's wife, he is obligated to defile himself. So we see that a wife is called She'ero, or she's called a wife even after she's dead. So Emo, I would have thought, L'chayef Allah, B'eishes Ish. Someone else who has intimacy with her corpse is guilty. Kamash Malon, hence the term Shichvas Zera comes to preclude that. It might be, without seeing Rashi immediately on this point, but it might be because the term Shichvas Zera implies Zera means producing seed, and being that she's dead, so that cannot take place. So therefore the term Shichvas Zera would exclude this form of intimacy. The Soita Lomali, the term Shichvas Zera appears in the context of the married woman suspected of immorality, of being with another man. What does the word Shichvas Zera, the term Shichvas Zera, accomplish there? Answer, L'chidesanya. Shichvas Zera, prat l'dover acher. To the exclusion of the case of dover acher, my dover acher. What does that mean? Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a series marking on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. We see that the trapezoid introduces Shitos Ma Bo L'mayit Shichvas Zera B'kesher L'kinui B'eishes Sota. So maybe a word about what is involved in Eishes Sota. A Sota, in technical terms, is a case of a man married to his wife, and he warns his wife. Rashi, we use the word in our introduction, the word kinui. That's where a husband warns his wife about or not to do something. We can't be specific yet because that is what the list of opinions comes to explain. So, in the simple sense, where is there a definite situation of as an isha sota? If a man warns his wife not to engage in intimacy with another man, and then she is seen by witnesses to have gone in private. They didn't see an actual act, but they saw her go in private with another man. That creates the Isha Sota, the suspected woman. And if you study the Parsha in the Torah, we know the husband then brings the wife to the Beis HaMikdash, and she is made to drink water into which the section of the Torah dealing with Sota had been erased into the water, and if she is guilty, so miraculously she swells up, and the rest is written in the Torah. So the case of Isha Sota involves the husband warning her. In this Gemara, we'll see that there are examples of warnings that do not create the Isha Sota. And we should have pointed out a moment before that once a husband warns his wife, and she is then seen to have gone into private with the other man, until the matter is settled by her drinking the testing waters of the Beis HaMikdash, until that point, she is forbidden to her husband. But it all depends on what the nature of the warning that he issued to her was. So our source says, Sheikh Fasser comes to exclude the case of Dover Acher. What does that mean? Am I Dover Acher? We continue in the Gemara. Number one, the first trapezoid, Omer of Sheshes Prat. This is to the exclusion, L'shekina La Sheloi Kedarka. According to Rav Sheshes, it would mean, if a husband had warned his wife, I don't want you having intimacy in the unusual fashion. The lo kedarka is where a man has male organ insertion to the non-reproductive orifice. So if a husband warned his wife, I don't want you to be with so-and-so, shelo kedarka, according to Rav Sheshes, that would not create a case of sota. Omar le Rava. Rava disagrees with Rav Sheshes. Mishkeve ishoksiv. The term mishkeve is a word in the plural. And from that, we learn that both kinds of orifice constitute full-fledged sexual intimacy. So how can you say that that would be excluded from the section establishing an isha sota? Eloma rova prat l'shekina la derech evorim. Rashi says derech evorim miuch dodim v'dosh mibachutz b'shar evorim. This has to do with we'll say it's immoral conduct. Miuch dodim is where he we'll say fondles her breasts, or he has let's say male organ contact with other parts of her body. Evora means other limbs other than the specified orifices, the reproductive orifice and the other, the more posterior orifice. That's derech evorim. So that if a man had warned his wife not to be with so and so in this derech evorim fashion, so that would not establish an isha sota. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, do you really need a pasuk to exclude that? Pritzusa osar rachmona. Rashi says, Pritzusa osar kos rachmona bitmiya. You read this with a tone of wonderment. Klomar pshito delav kinui hu. It's obvious that that would not constitute a warning that would create the isha sota. The mishum pritzusa lo mitzura alav, because of acts of that nature, she would not become forbidden to her husband. Elo Omar Abaye. Therefore, Abaye has to explain what does the source mean when the it says prat l'dover acher. In other words, the Torah uses the term shichva zera in the case of the isha sota, and that would make her into an isha sota if the husband warns her thusly, but not if something else. So elamar by prat l'shekina la b'neshika. Now here is a very big, very, very tricky word. Do not translate this in common Hebrew terms. That would be a very big mistake. It would fall more under the previous comment of Abaye. Neshika is the male organ touches the female place of reproduction. Again, the word neshika literally or in common Hebrew has to do with kissing, but kissing, if you appreciate the analogy, the one's, let's say, lips touch the other party's cheek. It's a mere touching, superficial contact without any organ insertion. And here we have to be detailed, somewhat vivid about this, otherwise the sugya cannot be understood. So Abaye says that a husband who warns his wife not to engage in this level of sexual contact, where there's absolutely no insertion, but just superficial organ contact, so she would not become an Isha Sota. Ha-nicha, this explanation is fine, is acceptable. Lamanda Omar, according to the opinion that says Ha'ora Zu Hachnosas HaTorah, that when we speak about Ha'ora, and we've spoken about that extensively in the last few Dapim, we've been referring to the term Ha'ora as partial insertion. Now, that happens to be a good explanation, but only according to one opinion. And here, we have to reveal that there are two opinions as to what Ha'ora is. Now, Ha'ora, we know, is something that the Torah views as serious as, we'll say, full organ insertion. What is Ha'ora? So, if you say that Ha'ora is defined as Hachnosas HaTorah, that would be a case where the tip of the male organ is actually inserted into the female orifice, and Ha'ora is considered the lower level of prohibition. So then Neshika, which is simple superficial contact without any insertion, that would not be an act that creates Isser, that would create prohibition between husband and wife. If she does simple neshika with another man, but according to the opinion that he'ora of the Torah is in fact neshika, the superficial contact without even a Torah insertion. A Torah is again the male organ, the tip of the male organ, the outer extreme of the male organ. But so if you say that aura in fact is neshika, my ika lememar, then what is prat ledover acher going to mean? Because if a man would warn his wife, do not do neshika, according to this madamar, it's like he's saying do not do ha'ora. And ha'ora is, as far as halacha is concerned, is a full-fledged act of prohibited intimacy. So what's being excluded? Ela li'olam l'shekina lo derech evorim ve'itzdrich. So we're going back to what Rava had mentioned in suggestion number two, that a man who warns his wife not to engage in, acts of impropriety, but are not actual orifice related, this needs to be spelled out as being a non-kinui, a non-warning to create an Isha Sota. Now, v'itzrich, and I need to be told this, and don't object to it on the grounds that it's simple promiscuity, simple pritzus, and it would be of no consequence. Because Saka Daita Chamina, I would have thought without this Tanaic source that the whole topic of Isha Sota is subjective. Bekpeda de Baal Tola Rachmana Vehaka Kapit, that the Torah gives license to a husband to warn his wife concerning any matter of bodily contact that happens to bother him. And if that were the case, then even if he would have told his wife, I don't want you having body contact, even without organ insertion, I don't want you having any body contact with some other guy, that would constitute a formal warning that sets into motion the sota process. Komash Malon, therefore the term Shichva Zera is used to exclude that it's that the the topic, the case of Isha Sota, of a woman becoming forbidden to her husband through his issuing, having issued a warning beforehand, only if the warning was of we'll call it an organ insertion nature. Whatever level of organ insertion that is, that already you have to define according to the Gemara beforehand. But certainly to the exclusion of a warning that involves other types of acts of promiscuity. Before we continue with the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. A diamond is featured, and you can see a double underline. All these are two series markings. Shitois, the diamonds will highlight different names, different opinions. Bagdoras, Neshika, Vachnosa Satora, the topic that we just finished touching upon. These are called different levels of male organ contact with the female, with the prohibited lady in the area of her orifice. Omar Shmuel, and by the way, you might want to note that we're going to see a number of opinions, and we have a chart that accompanies this sugya on the side of the Gemara. If you just glance at the chart by way of, let's say, overview before learning the Gemara, you can see down the right-hand column there are names as Shmuel, Rabba Bar Chana, Rav Dimi and Ravin, and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Across the top, we see references to different levels of insertion. There's Neshika, which is in fact no organ insertion. It's just the touching of male organ to that area of the woman. The next level is Hachnosas Atora, where the outer extremity of the male organ, that we'll call it the tip of the organ, is inserted, but not more than that. And then there is further than that, that's called Gemar Bia, completion of intimacy. There, the Torah makes reference to He'ora and Gemar Bia. The Torah word He'ora, unto what level of insertion is that applicable? So take Shmuel for example. Shmuel says that even mere Neshika is called He'ora. What about Hachnosa Satora? So that's not going to appear explicit, but it's derived through the Gemara's discussion as it unfolds, then Shmuel will call Hachnosas HaTorah also Heora. The next opinion, Rabbi Baruch Hanna will tell you that Neshika, that mere Neshika, is called Heora. And Hachnosas HaTorah, as far as Rabbi Baruch Hanna is concerned, the mere tip of male organ inserted is called Gemar Bia. That's a complete act. And Rav Dimi and Ravin, as far as how they classify Neshika, it's not so clear, but Hachnosas HaTorah, they will tell you that upon Hachnosas HaTorah, that's He'ora. As far as what about Neshika, so from the discussion more, we will derive that they hold that's also called He'ora. There's another opinion, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, will tell us that Neshika is actually exempt. It's not even He'ora. What about Hachnosas HaTorah? So he calls that is where Ha'ora begins, and beyond that, you need that then and only after Hachnosas HaTorah would we speak about Gemar Bia. Now, having seen the overview, we look at the Gemara itself, which presents the opinions, and in the course of the discussion, we're going to also investigate which opinions clash with one another. Omar Shmuel, He'ora zu Neshika. When the Torah uses the word He'ora, it is referring to the mere superficial contact, organ contact. Moshal the other man to explain Neshika, he gives us an analogy. Shmuel gives us an analogy. It's similar to a person sheminiach etzbo al piv. If a person places his finger on his lips, e efshir shlo yidchoik abosar, by the mere placing of your finger on your lips, it's impossible that there isn't some pressure, some pressing in of the flesh. So it doesn't mean insertion, but pressing in on the flesh. That's the concept of Neshika. Ki also Rabo Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gemar Bia Beshivcha Harufa Zu Hachnosas Atora. Now we can infer from this that anything less than that we call Neshika, that would be classified as Heora. That would sound like Shmuel. Shmuel said that Neshika is Heora, or Heora is Neshika. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes challenges Rabba Bar Chana by citing a posuk by Shifcha Harufa Vayikra Perek Yutes Posuk Chof. It says Shichvas Zera. Eino Chayov, a person who has relations with the bondmaid assigned to a Jewish servant, Eino Chayov Elo Al Bias Hamiruk. He's Chayov only with this type of intimacy, Bias Hamiruk. Now the word Miruk is a term that can be, let's say, loosely translated as completion. So, my lav, miruk gid. Does it not mean the completion of the gid? The gid is a word referring to the male organ, that the entire organ is inserted. Lo, that's not the explanation. Rather, miruk atora, the complete insertion of the tip. So that as far as Gemar Bia by Shifcha Harufa and this Tanaic source, it means the insertion of the Atorah, of the tip. So under Rabba Bar Chana, if you look at the chart, Hachnosas Atorah, under across the top you see the middle column is Hachnosas Atorah. Rabba Bar Chana calls that Gemar Bia. As far as Neshika is concerned, we established before that if Hachnosas Torah is called Gemar Bia, and Hachnosas Torah is a rather minor level insertion, so mere superficial contact, that would be called Heora. Heora, of course, being less than Gemar Bia. We continue in the Gemara, Ki Asa Rav Dimi Om Rav Yochanan, Heora Zu Hachnosas Atora. So according to Rav Dimi quoting Rav Yochanan, and again we have on the chart, you can see Hachnosas Atora, as far as he is concerned, is called Heora. Omru Lei. So people said to Rav Dimi, do you notice, by the way, by way of our markings, we squiggle on Rabbi Yochanan after Rav Dimi. We had squiggle on Rabbi Yochanan above after Rabba Bar Chana. So you have two rabbis quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So according to Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'ora is Hachnosas HaTorah. What did we infer from Rabba Bar Chana's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan? We inferred that Neshika is Ha'ora. That's different than Hachnosas HaTorah. That's more stringent. Here we're saying that Ha'ora is accomplished or violated by Hachnosas HaTorah, but not less than that. So they asked Rav Dimi, Amru Le, V'ho Rabo Bar Bar Chana, Lo Amar Hochi. He didn't say thusly. He said that that Hachnosas HaTorah, Rabba Bar Chana told you that Hachnosas HaTorah is called Gemar Bia, and you are quoting Rabbi Yochanan as saying that the Hachnosas HaTorah is Haora. So Rav Dimi responds, Omar Lahu, Rav Dimi says back to them, oh, Ihu Shakroi, oh, Ano Shakri. Either he is lying about what Rabbi Yochanan said, or I am. In other words, you can't challenge my position simply by citing Rabba Bar Bar Chana's position. He says what he says, and I say what I do. One of us is telling the truth. Ki asa Ravin Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'ara zu hachnasas atorah. Adirabo bar barchano vadai pligi. It's clear that what Ravin is saying, which by the way is the same as that which Ravdimi said, it's clear that they are at odds with Rabo bar barchano. They definitely argue with him. He said hachnasas atorah is gemar bia. Adishmuel, mi lema polig. Should we say that what Ravin is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is at odds with Shmuel? Now, according to Shmuel, Heora was Neshika. It would leave us to think that Hachnasas Torah is Gemar Bia. So is that? And if you say that, then Ravin would be at odds with Shmuel, because according to Ravin, Hachnasas Torah is not Gemar Bia; it's only Heora. So should we say that Ravin is at odds with Shmuel? Lo, not so. As far as Shmuel is concerned, Mineshika v'ad achnosas haTorah, that whole range is Heora Kori Law. That whole range, it's not as we thought, that when Shmuel says Neshika is Heora, that we would definitely then infer that which is beyond Neshika, achnosas haTorah, is necessarily Gemar Bia. Not so. From Neshika till Hachnasas HaTorah, that is called Heora, and that's what Ravin said, that Hachnasas HaTorah is called Heora, so they're not at odds with one another. Ki also Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Omar Rav Yochanan Heora zu Hachnasas HaTorah Gemar Bia is Gemar Bia Mamish. It's actual insertion beyond the tip of the git of the male organ. Mikan v'elech. Now, mikan v'elech means beyond that, but it really means beyond that in the other direction. Means less than hachnosas haTorah eino ela neshika upater olei. That would be classified as mere neshika, and one would be exempt for that. Upolig adishmuel. By saying that Neshika is exempt, that is at odds with Shmuel, because Shmuel classified Neshika as being considered Ha'ara. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.